So I'll be talking about how do you handle file system directories that potentially have millions to billions of files. And this project is called GigaPlus, and this is a joint work with Garth Gibson at CMU. So thanks to Steve for starting off with the question of why would you want to do this. And the initial motivation for our work was from one of the most important workloads in supercomputing, and that's application checkpoint restart. So in this world, large applications typically have tens of thousands of execution threads today. And each thread is periodically writing its application state in a small file and storing it in the underlying file system. As a result, the applications are very sensitive to the file create rate supported by the underlying file system. And when we look deeper beyond just checkpoint restart, we found that there are two general trends that are calling for, you know, file systems to support large directories. The first one is the large amount of parallelism that is available to the applications out there. Today's clusters have up to hundreds of thousands of CPU cores. Some exascale era work groups are predicting that in the next 10 years, we might have clusters with up to like billion cores. The second trend is that a lot of applications are doing a wide range of small file workloads. For example, genomics applications often create a small kilobyte size file for every gene that they sequence and store it in a single directory in the file system. Other applications include astrophysics, where the scientists basically name their file based on the attributes that they are interested in. And once that is done, they use the directory API like ReadDir to do all their analysis on the attributes that they want. So in general, it seems like we have these large workloads that are stressing the file system metadata service. So what's the state of the file systems today to handle such workloads? Most scalable file systems today do a great job in providing parallel access to the file data. However, the same cannot be said about what's happening on the metadata path, particularly directories. In fact, even some of the largest file systems out there today, such as PVFS, Panassus, PanFS, or the Hadoop file system, all store directories on a single server. There are some systems that are trying to use metadata-optimized solutions to tackle this problem. Examples include Facebook's Haystack store, where they built a metadata storage system to handle their photo services. And Google's next versions of the Google's file system, which is proposing to use Bigtable to store all the metadata. But there are a few file systems out there that have distributed directory implementations. In particular, IBM's GPFS, there's a Lustre's Beta implementation, and the Ceph file system. I'll talk about how we differentiate ourselves from these systems later in the talk. So given the state of the art, we decided that we want to build scalable and parallel file system directory indices. Our goal is to enable support for really high file insert rates in a single directory. And of course, we want to complement the existing cluster file systems. We don't want to build another new file system from scratch, but just the scalable directory subsystem. And want to stick to the existing Unix file system semantics or the POSIX-like semantics that most file systems have. So here's a high-level view of what GigaPlus does. GigaPlus is a hashing scheme, a distributed hashing scheme. Imagine this is the client, and you do an ls, and you have, right now, in this toy example, you have three directories, a small directory and two big directories, big one and big two. And you are using three servers, server red, green, and blue. Let's call them RGB for the rest of the talk because it's easy to remember. And that's three servers. And a small directory is essentially just stored on a single server. All the files of the directory don't span more than one server. There's a big directory, big one, which happens to be big enough that it's striped and divided into two partitions stored on two different servers. And these two partitions approximately have half of the files in this big directory. And then you have another big directory, which is bigger than big one, and that's striped across three servers. So in order to do any operations in the directory name, since it's a hashing-based scheme, you hash the file name, and the GigaPlus logic points you to an appropriate partition on an appropriate server. So we built this general idea. In the rest of the talk, obviously, I'll tell you what's the magic behind, you know, this high-level hashing scheme and how does it scale. So we build this prototype using the Fuse file system API. It's a user-level prototype. The key idea is that we want to decouple the distributed indexing layer from the existing file system so that you can layer it on top of any kind of file system that you would like to use it on. Here's an illustration for that. You have a bunch of clients that have applications running on them, and you have servers, in this case, three particular servers. This is a canonical model of the client. You have an unmodified application. that uses the VFS API, that any VFS call is intercepted by the Fuse kernel module, and it's sent back up to the GigaPlus client. On the server side, you have the GigaPlus server process that's listening to all the requests. And since we layer it on top of local file systems, we tried a whole bunch of local file systems that are available in the Linux kernel. And the local file systems store each hash partitions as directories. So when an application request comes in, the GigaPlus client has this magic in it, the mapping state, and finding out how to find the appropriate server, does all the routing, and sends the request to the server. So here's a key takeaway graph of how the system performs. We measured the scalability of the system, and it was pretty good. On the x-axis, you have the number of servers, the number of directory servers. It's a log scale, so you have 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, and 32 servers. And the y-axis is the throughput measured in terms of the number of files created every second. And initially, we set ourselves a goal of 32,000 file creates, because that was a challenge issued by HPCS, which is a high-performance computing organization, and they had a goal of achieving 32,000 file creates per second. And we did pretty well, and in fact, we peak at around 98,000 file creates, a little more than 98,000 file creates on a cluster of 32 directory servers. These numbers are done on a cluster at CMU. It's a dual 64-node dual quad-core system with 16 gigs of RAM, 10 gig NIC, and we're using one 7200 RPM disk running Riser FS. And in fact, this particular goal set by HPCS is also starting to be achieved by different systems out there. So we took two open source systems, HBase, which is a distributed database in the Hadoop stack, and the Ceph open source file system. And I should point out here, the reason why we chose HBase was to try and emulate what Google is planning to do with the next version of the file system, to use a distributed database. So-called distributed database to store metadata. And the Ceph results are produced from their original published work from the OSDI paper. The key point here is not that we are outperforming them, but it's good to see that there are different systems that are meeting these goals. And it's nice to see that we are actually starting to target this particular problem out there. So in the rest of the talk, I'll give out the details about how GigaPlus scales and how we differentiate ourselves from these existing schemes. In general, in any distributed indexing scheme, you have a bunch of questions. How do you split the directories? How do you index directories? How do you grow across servers? And how do you keep the mapping state? And these are some of the questions that I'll address. So at the beginning, when you create a directory, every directory is empty. You do a makedir, and then you start populating files in a directory. So directories start small, and in fact, most directories remain small. File system studies have shown that almost 99.9% of the directories have less than 8,000 entries in them. And there are a few directories that grow to insanely large sizes. So initially, you start with, when you do a makedir, you just have a single partition stored on one server. And this is an illustration which shows, which I'm going to use for the next few slides. So what it shows is that you have a hash range from 0 to 1. And initially, when you have just a single partition, this partition stores all the files in that directory, and it holds the hash space from 0 to 1. So you have files coming in, you hash the file name, and since it's a single partition, it goes into this partition, and you continue this for the second file, third file, and so on. That's small directories. So now you start growing the directories, and this partition reaches its threshold of, let's say, 8,000 entries, and it overflows. At this point, you split this partition into two halves. And what happens here is you have two partitions now, P0 and P1. Note that the different colors here indicate the different servers on which the server on which the partition is stored. So P0 splits half of its hash space into P1 and stores it on a different server, the green server. So once again, and you move half the files in these partitions, and now since both of them are equal sized, one of them will split, and in this illustration, P0 splits again because it overflows and it creates two partitions, and it happens to go on another server. I would like to point out here that in this illustration, we are using a round-robin mapping, so the partition ID PI is mapped on one of the three servers using I modulo the number of servers. The key difference here is, since we are growing incrementally in the proportion of the directory size, this is what is different from GigaPlus with the Lustre's beta implementation. What Lustre is doing is they just have a one-time split. So once a directory grows above a particular threshold, you split it across all the metadata servers that you have out there. The only problem with that is, you know, let's assume if you have a threshold of 8,000 entries and you create 8,001 files and you split them across all the 100 servers that you have and it stops growing. So you might end up in a case you're making assumptions about the workload and you're assuming that the directory is actually going to be big enough to use all the 1,000 servers. And we want to avoid that problem. So, and the split continues and you have half the files. So until this point, what we had was, it's like a classic extensible or a dynamic hashing scheme that has been in the literature for almost 30 years now. So, but what is different is, in GigaPlus is what happens now. So at this point, let's assume that P0 keeps getting inserts and it fills, and then P1 also gets more files and it also overfills. So at this point, both of them, since they are at different servers, they split at the same time. So what's happening is these two servers are splitting their partitions totally simultaneously without actually coordinating with each other. And this split continues, and P0 splits into P4, and P4 goes onto a different server, and so on. So the key property that GigaPlus provides you for parallelism is that servers split their partitions totally independent of other servers. They don't coordinate. They don't say, hey, I'm going to split, so hold on, or send any coordination messages. And as a result, this happens totally in parallel. So you can potentially have all the servers splitting and expanding at the same time. So that's great. And because of this property, GigaPlus is able to achieve this notion of trying to avoid any system-wide protocol, such as a distributed lock manager, which is how GPFS implements its directories when it has to grow them concurrently, or using a separate coordinator node, which is used by a distributed data structure called LHstar, to manage this growth. The other point is that since there is no system-wide serialization happening during this growth operation, the serialization happens only at a single server when you are inserting files in that particular partition, but it's not serialized across different servers, which is how GigaPlus differentiates itself from existing indexing schemes where you basically, for example, LHstar, what it does is you have a whole bunch of servers and it imposes an order on which server is going to split at what time. As a result, you have serialized splits with one server splitting at any given time. So let's look at how, you know, as in the previous graph, on the right side, your left side, you have the GigaPlus index of how it looks from the previous animation, and you have this directory foo, which has 5 partitions, and as I said, we are using a round-robin mapping on 3 servers, and that's the physical view on the servers where you have 5 partitions striped across 3 servers. So what's the mapping state kept at the servers? The servers know 2 things. First is they know about the partitions that they store. So in case of server 0, it knows that it stores P0 and P3. And in addition to that, it also stores the history of all the splits that these partitions have done in the past. So note that P0 split to create P1, P2, and P4 in the past. So P0 keeps this information as an attribute of that particular of that partition. So the key, and similarly on server 1 and server 2, these partitions have their own split histories. Note that some of the partitions have not split. For example, P4 has not split, so it doesn't have any split history at this point. So what's happening here is, what is this split history? This split history is essentially, if you look at the tree, you start from the leaf node, which is your data partition, and you just traverse it all the way up to the root. And all the while you're traversing that, any node that you created, which is on the right side of the tree, that's your child partition that was created after splitting it. So essentially, and since this mapping information is just distributed across servers, the whole directory mapping is a history of all the partitions present in the system. And since it's just stored on each server, only stores a part of it, all you have to do is take a transitive closure over all the mappings on all the servers, and you get the index for the whole directory. So let's look at now this. The another feature of the split histories is that it enables GigaPlus to tolerate inconsistent mapping information in the system. So here's an illustration. Let's assume that you have a client, and this client, since the servers are growing in a totally uncoordinated manner, the system has split a lot of times, but the client is unaware of this. So the client's current mapping information for this directory has just two pieces of information, P0 and P1. So client tries to insert a file, and it hashes file, and the hash mechanism tells you that, the insert needs to go to server 1. It sends a request to server 1. Server 1 realizes that it is no longer responsible for this file because the partition P1 split in the past and it moved half of the files to partition P3. As a result, it sends an update saying that, hey, some things have changed. Here's a quick update of what's happening. And apply this update. So the client updates its mapping information and resends the request by rehashing it using the new state and sends it to server 0, which happens to have the child of partition P1. So obviously, the key point here is that you might experience a few extra retries because of these redirections. But it's important to note here that these redirections happen only when the directory is expanding. Once the directory stops expanding, the clients have eventually built all the state in the system, and they don't need any redirections. So here's a quick summary of the key ideas in GigaPlus. There are, you know, for any distributed indexing, you have a bunch of issues, like how do you scale out growth on the servers, how do you manage the partition to server mapping, and so on. And the way GigaPlus did this was using by trying to avoid any global synchronization or serialization and tolerating inconsistent mapping information. I would like to point out here that when I say inconsistency, it's just the inconsistency of this mapping or the lookup information. The data consistency still exists, just like any classic file system. I'm not going to talk about GigaPlus also works seamlessly to expand on new servers that are added in the system without doing a whole lot of remapping and with minimal migration. The details are in the paper, so please feel free to look at that. So having given you this high-level idea of how GigaPlus works, let's look at some of the design decisions and what trade-offs we made and how they affect the performance of the system. The experimental setup that we used the MD test benchmark, which is commonly used by a lot of parallel file system vendors. We are particularly using the concurrent create workloads. Those are the results I'll present here. Which basically means that each server is responsible for handling 400,000 file creates. And as we add more servers, we just grow it in terms of proportion. So if you have two servers, it's 800,000 files, and then so on. As I mentioned earlier, all experiments are conducted on a 64-node cluster, dual-core, quad-core, 16 gigs. We played with a bunch of local file systems, including in-memory TempFS, RiserFS, EXE3, and XFS. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about how it affects performance. There's a nice analysis section in the paper about that. And each client node is running 8 workload threads for that. So here's what the rest of the analysis is going to look like. This is a canonical graph of any scalable system, right? On the x-axis, you have the time, and the y-axis, you have some notion of throughput. Initially, when the system is expanding, you are in the scale-out phase. And once you start use all the servers in the system, you are in some sense of a steady state. So in particular, in the context of GigaPlus, what the scale-out phase means is that you're splitting the directory across all the servers until you have a load balance distribution. And steady state is when you basically stop splitting and let the system continue and expand only when new servers are added in the system. So let's look at how GigaPlus performs when it's scaling out. In this particular graph, on the x-axis, you have time, which is the runtime of the experiment. And on the y-axis is the throughput measured in the number of files created per second. And we stripe a directory on different number of servers, like 1 to the power of 2 number of servers. What's happening here is initially a directory starts empty at time t0, and then we populate files in this directory, and the GigaPlus logic kicks in. So there are two takeaway points from this graph. First is that once you have spread the directory on all the servers in the system, you're pretty much scaling linearly. So 2 servers are giving you twice the throughput as 1 server, 4 servers is doing twice as 2 servers, and so on. The other observation here is that this notion of incremental growth, so since you're splitting only as you're growing, and there is this notion partitions are being moved across different servers, you experience some throughput drops during this scale-out phase. And these throughput drops correspond to the partition splits that are happening in the system. So what I showed previously was a case where each server has a single partition, single directory partition. And I would like to point out here that the reason GigaPlus approach uses this splitting approach is to achieve a load balance distribution. This is different from a lot of classic database indices where you split a partition when it overflows, and you keep doing it all the time. And the reason why you do that is you want to bound the size of the partition to be approximately the size of a disk extent so that you get good disk I/O performance. So right now, since we have one partition per server, and that's sufficient to use all the servers, how well balanced is it? So what we do is we calculate the load balancing efficiency. And the way we calculate is, although this is the math, I'll give you an example to tell you what this math means. Imagine you have 10 servers. So you expect that each server to have 10% of the load. But you happen to have two servers. One of them has 16% load, and the other has 6% load. So in that case, the 16% loaded server is overloaded by 60%, and the 4% server with the 4% load is over 6% load is overloaded by 40%. So that's the notion of variance, which is plotted on the y-axis, and the x-axis is the size of the cluster, the number of directory servers. So what we see here is two things. When the number of servers is a power of 2, GigaPlus is almost uniformly load balanced. There's zero load variance, and the reason that happens is, if you recall the GigaPlus hash tree, what it means is that when all the nodes in this tree are at the same level, that happens when you have a power of 2 number of nodes. And as a result, since you have a single partition on each server has one partition, and all the partitions have the same hash range. As a result, you are load balanced. However, in other cases, there is a very high imbalance, because there are some nodes in the tree that have twice the hash range as other nodes, and which causes imbalance in the system. So can we do any better? Of course, one way to do that is split even more. So when you split to create more than one partition per server, that is, you have 4, 8, or 16 partitions, it improves the load balancing significantly. And the reason that happens is because when you have more partitions than the number of servers, each server has multiple partitions, and each of these partitions has a smaller hash range. So when you aggregate the hash range stored on each server, the difference from one server to the other server goes down significantly. And that affects the load variance in the entire system. So this kind of reminds us of something, right? This is like what the classic consistent hashing mechanism does, where, to give you a quick idea of what consistent hashing is, popular with a lot of internet-based systems these days, both cluster services and peer-to-peer file systems. You take the hash space and randomly divide it into multiple parts, and each part has a different range in the hash space. Since that may lead to a very high load variance, consistent hashing uses an optimization called virtual nodes. So essentially, you split it into a lot more parts than the number of nodes, and then you reduce the variance in the system. So we compared GigaPlus with consistent hashing for the same number of partitions per server, and we find that GigaPlus, because of its binary splitting policy where it always splits it into half, continues to be much more well-balanced than consistent hashing. And in fact, what we did was we tried to come up with this. So far, if you're willing to tolerate a given load variance, how many partitions would consistent hashing need to achieve that? And consistent hashing needs almost 10 to 100 times more number of partitions to achieve the same load variance. What it means is that you have to split more often, and splits are expensive because you're moving data, and it's a complicated mechanism. So there are a bunch of other details in the paper. For example, we measured the overhead of weak consistency that GigaPlus uses, and it's a very low overhead for a big system with 32 servers and almost 13 million requests. Less than 0.1% of the total requests had any redirection. And we also measure the effect of different local file systems, in particular how on-disk layout and the journaling mechanisms affect RiserFS and EXT3. And there's a whole lot of implementation details, including operational things like fault tolerance and layering on cluster file systems and node membership. So to conclude, our goal here was to push the limits of scalability for file system directories. We want to store billions or even more number of files in a single directory for these new emerging workloads, and be able to sustain, right now it's 100,000 operations per second, but go on and try to push the limit to, let's say, millions of mutations per second. GigaPlus tries to achieve this by decentralized and parallel indexing that avoids serialization, global serialization, and synchronization, while still maintaining strong consistency of the data, but weak consistency for the mapping information. And we want to stick to the existing Unix file system and POSIX-like semantics, and we are exploring how the current interfaces would adapt to such a workload of mutating directories. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Asar Westlin from Permit. If I understand the workload and scenarios you're targeting here, it's basically write once and then read, so you just create lots of files in this directory that then might get used to restore from the checkpoint?
Yes.
And in that case, I assume you don't care about joining partitions or a directory that's shrinking and you have to rebalance and readjust for that?
Yes, most of the workloads that we looked at, basically, they don't really shrink directories. Pretty much most of the workloads, if they want to get rid of the directory, they get rid of all the files in the directory, and so we currently don't look at shrinking. But from an intellectual point of view, we could apply the same principles of keeping asynchrony and changing the mapping information when you shrink a directory and update that lazily for the clients. It's still possible.
Hi, Carlos Malzahn, UC Santa Cruz.
Hi.
Is there any reason why you, Ceph is, the numbers that you cite from Ceph are, you know, over 5 years old.
Yes.
It's an open source file system that has been in active development since then.
Yes.
A lot of things have changed, and it's available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Any reason why you didn't do a more direct comparison, especially with the scalability measurements?
I think we did try running Ceph on our cluster, but this was before the paper submission, and by default, Ceph disables distributed directories. You have to enable it as a flag in the system, and we tried running it, but due to just time pressure, we could not complete the evaluation, and we just decided that's the best way. But I agree that it's an old system, the numbers are from a different cluster, and it should improve the scalability even more. So that's something that we want to do eventually.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Yes, thanks.
So I understand the target here for what you're doing. And I don't know enough about the background for these users, but have you considered telling them to not create so many files in the same directory?
Yes, that's a religious debate where you try to convince programmers. And most of these programmers are scientists and most of these applications are legacy applications. So it's hard to convince them, of course. So it's better to support some kind of a library or file system support to handle these workloads. So.
And have you looked at the performance of them doing reader or, as you said, trying to delete all the files in this directory?
So reader is going to be interesting. That's something that we are looking at because first thing is doing a reader on a billion files is nice because you'll get a two-day vacation because the systems will stop doing everything else. What we're looking at is not trying to do a reader on a billion files, but provide something like a filtering interface where, you know, you want certain parts of the files, only a few files and not all the files. And some file systems like NTFS already have a filter on reader. So maybe that's the right way to go, but we're exploring these questions.
I mean, you said you wanted to maintain the semantics, and I think
right. That
creation is perfectly fine. It's as you said, now I want to read this in, or possibly even for deleting the whole thing, I want to say one operation, please delete, not give me every single file, and then, okay, delete that one, delete
yes.
that one, delete that one.
Yes.
And that's, I think, where the current interface doesn't quite meet what these people want to do.
Yes, I agree. The reader interface would probably need some revisiting.
Ashish from NetApp. When you rename a file, mm-hmm. does it cross a partition?
Yes. When you rename a file across directories, you'll change you move it from a partition from the source directory to the destination directory.
How about in the same directory?
So since we are eventually layering in this on a cluster file system, our notion is that all the properties for an atomic rename are something that the cluster file system provides. For example, there has been some work in the context of the Ursa Minor cluster storage where you use reliable data migration services for all these kind of cross-server metadata operations. So it's easier to just reuse the existing functionality instead of building the whole functionality from scratch in GigaPlus.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.